straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 161, powered by Hook'em.com and brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. I'm Cedric Golden, joined by the Duck, Kirk Bowles. And Duck, when it's time to talk college football on a national level, now that Gatehouse and Gannett have merged, we get a few picks of the litter and we get one of the preeminent voices of college football. Welcome to the show, USA Today college sports, college football columnist George Schroeder. George, what's up, man?
Man, I'm glad to be on. When does the preeminent voice in college football come on? Is that after me?
Right after you.
Stop it. Stop it.
Hey, seriously, it's cool that we have this merger going, would have been glad to come on the podcast without the merger. You guys know that.
Well, now you're family, though, so now you have no choice. You got to come on, I guess. Well,
that's not now they've told me I have to.
Yeah, but that's not what Kirk told me, but we'll talk about that once we're off the air.
Stop it. So anyway, hey, you're on Sirius Radio. You're on the Childers New Heisler Show all the time. You're everywhere. I don't know. You must be like 30 hours in your day. But college football is where it's at. We love it, don't we?
Oh, it's the best. And this time of year is so much fun for me. I have to tell you, the off season feels longer every year.
Oh my! Hey, I'm a proponent of year round college football, and I don't know who we have to get to talk into that. But it's like the NBA season; they take like 2 weekends off, and then they're playing again. It's like what? And college football is nearing the end already. It's just. But anyway, let's delve right into new CFP rankings. Oklahoma and Baylor, both in the top 10. What do you make of their new rankings this week, George?
Well, the combination of Oregon losing, which knocked them out of the top 10, all the way to, 14th or whatever it
is? Right, 14th, yes.
And the committee, and I really think it was a market correction or a course correction. The committee is late to the game in understanding that Baylor's really good.
Yeah, I do. I agree.
And I get why. I get why, because they didn't have some of their wins were, you know, iffy and coulda, woulda, shoulda not been wins and that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. But they kept winning them.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw them in person a week and a half ago, against Oklahoma. You guys saw them this past weekend. I mean, that is a physical, confident bunch that mm-hmm. can play football.
Absolutely.
So, but the combination of Baylor moving into the number 9 spot and Oregon dropping out, I think really helped Big 12 in a whether it's Baylor or Oklahoma that wins. If they win out, I think Baylor will beat Kansas, right? So they'll be 11-1,
right?
But if Oklahoma beats Oklahoma State and they're both 11-1,
mm-hmm.
you're looking at a top 10 matchup in the Big 12 championship game. And the thing that I find interesting about that is, it was going to come down to that number 4 spot, and we can toss Alabama to the side for a second. You guys might want to talk about it if you want.
But
we do.
If it comes down to, and I think it will, the one-loss conference champion versus the one-loss conference champion,
mm-hmm.
the Big 12 was going to try to hang its hat on, hey, we've stacked 3 or 4 top 25 wins down the stretch, whether it was Oklahoma or Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
the Pac-12 was going to say, yeah, but we had a top 10 matchup in our conference title game, and boy, it looked like a play-in game for that number 4 spot.
True.
Well, so now all of a sudden, the Pac-12 doesn't have that anymore.
Right. That's
and they don't
away.
Have any of those top 25 wins to stack together. And the Big 12 has both if they win out.
Mm-hmm.
So they get the top 25 wins stacked together, whichever team wins. And they get the top 10 matchup at the end, which is a marquee matchup to sort of, you know, impress the committee. So I actually think that the Big 12 is suddenly really well positioned. Clearly, Oklahoma is, but right. even Baylor and Oklahoma at 7, but even Baylor at 9, I think they're in good position to hop Utah in the final analysis and into the number 4 slot. If sort of the top seed holds serve and all the ifs that we have to go through on this.
You know, it's interesting too. I think if you put a gun to my head, and a lot of people do here in town, Utah versus Baylor, I really think Utah's a better team. I had them like, I don't know, fourth or fifth in my preseason AP poll. I love them. Mm-hmm. Complete team, both sides of the ball. Their only loss was to USC, obviously, which has now won, what, eight games. I think Utah is better and deserves to be in there. But I love the fact that they did correct with Baylor. I just can't believe they're not correcting with Alabama. And I move Alabama down. I've got Alabama, I think, eight maybe in my AP vote because they're not the same team. They don't have quality wins. They don't have Tua anymore. And I think it's the residual Nick Saban effect. And I don't think they should really be that strongly considered at this point. Your thoughts on Alabama?
Yeah, and I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, you're good. You're good.
I don't think they will be strongly considered. We're going to hear that from every possible media outlet for the next 10 days or however many days it is between now and the final ranking. We're going to hear that over and over and over again, and that's fine. But if either the Pac-12 or the Big 12 champion has one loss, then I don't think we're going to see Alabama get in.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. It's an 11. We're assuming a win over Auburn, which, by the way, I'm not sure that we should assume. And by the new talking point for the Bama fans is if they blow the doors off of Auburn.
Yeah.
All right, well, let me know when you blow the doors off of this Auburn team at Auburn with your backup quarterback. If that happens, then that's a great talking point.
Yes.
But I don't think with Tua they were going to get a whole lot of consideration from the committee at 11-1 against the 12-1 conference champion. And the 11-1 would contain one top 25 win, that win over Auburn that we're assuming here. It would include three total wins over teams with winning records. Auburn would have four losses. Texas A&M would have five losses if we assume LSU beats them.
Mm-hmm.
And Tennessee already has five losses going into a game against Vanderbilt this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their resume. Oh, and by the way, a great quality loss, which is sort of the other talking point, in a game where you lost at home to an LSU team that that controlled the game from late in the first half all the way through the end. And Alabama in the second half never had the ball with a chance to take the lead or tie.
Yep, that's
I mean, that's what you're looking at for their resume. Now, you might say, well, in 2017 they got in without winning a division title, and frankly, they had a lesser resume.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to the only top 25 team they played that year. It was Auburn by a dozen points. But they weren't being compared to a 12-1 conference champion.
Right. We're on the same page. 12-1 versus we are on the same page.
11-2. 11-2 Ohio State that not only lost to an Oklahoma in September, but had a terrible 30-plus point loss at Iowa.
Yeah, it was Iowa.
So I just don't see I don't see it. And by the way, they don't have the same record. Anyway, even if you cast the conference championship aside, it's 12-1, not 11-1.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's Baylor, Oklahoma, or Utah, they will have played 10 conference opponents. Alabama played 8. I mean, I think there's a whole lot of reasons to suspect that Alabama's not going to get a lot of consideration if one of those conferences produces a one-loss conference champion.
Well, that brings me to my question. George, I hope this doesn't happen. If Alabama figures out a way to slither in there for that fourth spot, will that open the door to expansion? Because if you think about it, if we're talking today about an 18 playoff, the conversations are probably a lot clearer. The picture is a lot clearer. How close are they, do you think, to seriously considering expanding it to 8 teams?
Well, I think they're sort of talking about the idea, and or maybe a better way to put it is they're sort of open to talking about the idea, which is always the first step.
Because
there were a lot of years when we were in the BCS when they weren't open to mentioning what they called the P word.
Right.
I mean, they didn't want to say playoff.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. They didn't want to go there.
And then they started sort of being open to at least thinking about talking about it. And at that point, then you could see it coming. And I think we can all see it coming, but my guess is it's probably not coming until that 12-year deal. This is the sixth of 12 years.
Right.
Until that 12-year deal with ESPN is done. But if that's the case, that probably means that in a year or two or three here, they'll say, hey, we're going to go to the expanded playoff, but it won't be for, 3 years or something like that. So I think that's coming. But if Alabama gets in, as you said, and it's in over a one-loss conference champion, if that happens, and again, I don't think it's going to, mm-hmm. then I do think that will speed up the process.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why. I mean, I think there's a whole bunch of people that think we have very few objective measurements in this sport. All the scheduling is different. Mm-hmm. The approaches are different. The conference sizes are different. There's so much and it's so hard to figure out what does this mean versus that mean versus the other, that we ought to use the objective measurement that we have,
mm-hmm.
and that would be conference champions.
Right.
And obviously, by definition, one of those teams at least gets left out of a 14 playoff, one of those Power Fives. I think if you saw an Alabama team that gets in, and it's essentially is but Bama or because Bama, if they get in, I think you're going to have people saying, look, you haven't valued conference champions for the last 3 or 4 years. We're going to have to change this and let conference champions have an automatic bid. And the only way you do that is to get to 8 so you can get all 5 of them in.
Yeah, and it's so interesting. And another thing I think that could precipitate it maybe happening sooner, George, would be, say, Alabama gets in, but say, all right, here's an example. Ohio State loses to Michigan, okay, and then beats Wisconsin or Minnesota, but they're not an unbeaten right. champion. And maybe say you had Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma as the Big 12 champion with one loss, and Clemson, and you left out the Big 10 team. Oh, my God, that'd be Mount Vesuvius, wouldn't it, if the Big 10 got left out?
No question, and that's been the biggest driver of sort of the unrest so far over the last couple of years. It's mm-hmm. been Jim Delaney, who's now the outgoing Big Ten commissioner,
right.
really pounding his shoe on the table inside the committee rooms, but clearly also, you know, with the press
right.
about how conference champions aren't being valued. And by that, he means our conference champion.
Right.
You know, Penn State didn't get in 1 year with
that's
two
right.
losses,
that's
but on
right.
the other hand, Ohio State did.
Right.
And then Ohio State doesn't get in. The year we were talking about, 2017. And so I just, or last year. Last year, Ohio State doesn't get in, and it really rankled him that Ohio State finished sixth behind a two-loss Georgia team
mm-hmm.
At 5 in that 4-5-6 battle between Oklahoma, Georgia, and Ohio State. Now, I'm a little bit like Ralph Russo of the AP. He has a pet theory that if that fight between Georgia and Ohio State had been for the number 4 slot,
mm-hmm.
it would have turned out differently, he thinks. He just doesn't think they care as much about 5 and 6 because
right.
it doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm talking about the committee.
Right.
And he might be right.
Yeah.
But that made Jim Delaney mad, too.
Well, a lot makes Jim Delaney mad. And I'm still mad about 2014 with TCU and Baylor.
Me too.
You know, it's so hypocritical, I think, for them to drop from, what was TCU was 3rd and went to, what, 6th after beating Iowa State by 55 or something like that.
And
like,
I still worry, you know, that if Baylor beats Oklahoma yeah. in the Big 12 championship game,
yeah.
that Baylor's lack of political clout might cost
yeah.
them once again. I still worry about that.
I agree, Sid.
I think you guys are right on it, too. I mean, to me, that's why I think Baylor is iffy. I think if Oklahoma wins out, unless Utah just looks unbelievably dominant and Oklahoma
yeah.
is slipping by people, which,
right.
by the way, we've been watching happen, but
mm-hmm.
unless it's exactly like that, I think Oklahoma would probably get in.
Yeah.
But Baylor getting in,
yeah.
I don't know. And I know people, and you guys are probably among them, who wonder, let's say Utah, you know, the decks are cleared and it's not Utah. Oregon wins, right?
Okay.
And so Utah's, the Pac-12 is out, basically. Their champion has 2 losses.
Right.
But Baylor beats Oklahoma. They're now 12-1. They beat the only team that beat them, which, by the way, is similar to the formula that Oklahoma used a year ago
mm-hmm.
to get in.
Mm-hmm. With Texas.
And
yeah.
yet now right. they're being compared with that Alabama team we were just talking about.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, of course it has to be Alabama. And the Alabama helmet gets in and the Baylor helmet, whichever one they're wearing this week, doesn't get in.
Oh, I could see that. I could see that.
That'd be fun for us to write about, but I don't want to see that happen.
Yeah,
I don't want to
see the Big 12 getting screwed again.
I think it's the wrong way for
yeah.
college football to go in this case, too,
yeah.
for all the reasons we talked about with Alabama.
But see, that's the other thing, too. It's like we got to wait another 6 years. That's the thing. And we all love college football. The three of us just love it. And it's like we wish the season was longer, but it's the only sport to me with a meaningful regular season, and that means everything. I don't want to dilute that, and I really don't think 8 teams would. I think a 16 team would blow up the regular season. It would
That's be too many. Too
yeah,
many.
It's way too many. I'd like to see it 8 or even 6 and get some buys. I wouldn't mind, but I just hate the fact we'd have to wait six more years.
Yeah, I do too. And look, that's just my speculation because I don't see it as imminent.
Yeah, I don't either.
The expansion of the playoff.
I don't either.
But, and so you're looking for sort of natural points, and that would be a natural point, mm-hmm. obviously. And it doesn't mean you couldn't have something, some controversy boil so hot that they felt like they needed to blow the contract up or go back in and do some things to it. But right. I feel like that, you know, even if there's a controversy that forces them to think about that, mm-hmm. if it's not this year, but it's a year or two down the road, that gives them, they, you know, gives them time. Here's the thing. It's one thing for us to sit here and design an 18 playoff. And we all know how it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to convince university presidents to play A, an extra game, B, to put quarterfinals, as we all think it would be, either on campus or just in the middle of the calendar during exam time. But can you imagine that on? I mean, university presidents really don't want to do that. And those of us who are like pundits and radio talk show hosts and podcast people, we all just think, well, just do this.
Right.
But that's not how they think.
Well, I would fix that the way I've said we should fix that. Get rid of the conference championship games that weekend.
Right. And get rid of one of those cupcake non-conference games, especially the SEC. They have four.
But that has to do with opponents.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I'd say get rid of that championship Saturday we'll have next week. And if nothing else, move it up and have a game earlier in August, because you see baseball, softball, golf, tennis all finishing up after semesters are over. They're in June. So why can't you start football week earlier and you get this week on conference championship week back and make
it? I don't disagree with that at all, Kirk. Here's the one issue that's a little bit different with college football. If you're playing quarterfinals in the middle of, whether it's in the middle of December or the first of December, if you're playing them on your home site, it isn't just about the 100 football players who will or won't be paying attention to exams. Mm-hmm. It's about your 40,000, 50,000, 60,000, enrollment campus.
Yeah. Are they there
gearing up for a huge home game in the middle of maybe dead week?
Yeah.
They don't want that. Or in the middle of exam week. They don't want that.
No, they don't. They don't. Absolutely.
Well, George, I've got a question about our little team here in Austin. You read and wrote about the hype surrounding the Texas Longhorns after they beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. And here the Horns sit at 6-5, needing to beat Texas Tech just to get to a winning season. How shocked are you from a national perspective? And what are some of your buddies that you hang out with, the other national writers? What are their thoughts on the Horns having such a bad year?
I'm shocked. And look, I don't know that I was completely ready to buy into all of the hype that, hey, they're going to be a playoff contender based off of that 10-4 season and beating Georgia. I am not one of those guys who wants to tell you, oh, that Georgia win doesn't mean anything because they didn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, whatever. and, you know, that's fine. That's what you say after you lose. But I would just say that I think we got excited enough that we sort of overlooked some of the things that we're going to be missing on this team, and we glossed over some things. But I'll tell you this, even after they, you know, I was in Austin for the game with LSU, and even after that game, I thought to myself, this is a pretty good team. I don't know if maybe they're a playoff contender, but it's a pretty darn good team. I don't know how that would have gone in Baton Rouge, but they gave LSU all they wanted. You know, maybe let's just be honest, it was a different team than it is now, obviously. They've had injuries and everything else, but I am astonished by how badly it's gone for them. And I'm astonished by the fact that you know, even some of their wins have been scrabbling to beat the middle and lower tier of the Big 12. And that is an amazing thing, and not in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to beat those teams soundly. Now, you know, it doesn't always happen that way, right? We were just talking about Oklahoma.
Right.
They've been struggling to beat, you know, TCUs of the world and things like that. But it's just, it's astounding to see, because I thought they had, were going to take at least some incremental step forward this year from last year. And that, you know, maybe it wouldn't be this year, but maybe next year they would really be a playoff contender. And now I'm sitting here going, what is the progress and where are they headed? And I don't know the answer.
Yeah, everybody's scratching their head and everybody's wondering now, are there going to be transfers? Are there going to be, you know, more people in the transfer portal? Are there going to be decommitments?
Coaches fired.
Coaching changes. And it's just kind of, I don't want to say turmoil and upheaval, but they're just a lot of head scratching and a lot of consternation.
So. Unrest, a lot of unrest in Austin.
What I don't get is like, and you guys would know this better than me. And look, and obviously there's some things that happen, like essentially losing every running back on the roster in August, right?
That
changed the complexion of this team's maybe ceiling. I get that,
right?
But what I don't get is the lack of skill position guys that I see that you would expect to see at Texas. And I know Colin Johnson has been injured. I know Lil Jordan shouldn't have left early. I get all that kind of stuff, but it's like you look at, let's just go to the top of the Big 12. You look at Oklahoma and they lose a Biletnikoff receiver and keep replacing them every year. Doesn't it seem like?
Yeah.
And they have two or three or four guys, you know, CD Lamb doesn't play against Baylor and some kid named Theo Weiss, who was a highly touted recruit, does his CD Lamb imitation. And I don't see those guys in the starting lineup for Texas, really, much less behind, you know, filling in behind. And I thought, and I still think, that Tom Herman and company were recruiting pretty well, but I'm not seeing it in the skill positions. I don't get that.
I don't either. I mean, like Rambo, and like you say, Weiss, I mean, it's like they just kind of interchangeable, and Texas loses Colin Johnson, and they shrivel up, and it's just hard to fathom.
Texas should not have to depend on one 6'5" receiver, ever. Or else you can't move the football. That shouldn't be the case,
right?
And I don't get it,
right? Yeah, neither do we, and neither does Longhorn Nation. So, I know we've kept you longer than we said we were going to. It was a fascinating conversation. Well, before we let you go, I'd like to ask you about coaching changes a little bit and the landscape with jobs at Florida State open, probably USC, Arkansas. What are you hearing there? What your expectations of who might land these jobs? So where do you fall on that subject?
Yeah, well, so, I hesitate to talk about the USC job because by the time the podcast comes out, everything could change.
Well, it'll be tomorrow morning, so we ought to be safe, but you never know.
We'll see. As we speak, obviously Clay Helton still keeps the job, and there's some question as to whether he's going to keep it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit weird that he's sort of twisting in the wind, but it feels like maybe he'll keep it, which would be really interesting.
It would be.
I actually thought that, they didn't meet expectations, but they had some crazy injuries and some things like that. And it wasn't just to quarterbacks. And by the way, in losing JT Daniels, they found their quarterback.
Boy, they did.
Clovis, who is a big time air raid guy. And I think he's a really good quarterback.
I think so too.
But they lost a bunch of defenders through the year and stuff like that. And I actually think he did a pretty nice job of getting them. Excuse me, to 8-4. The problem is the expectations there obviously are not 8-4, and they're not even 10-2. And you win the Pac-12. They go to the playoff. They win national championships. And I don't know that Clay Helton's that guy. But let's be honest. Other than Pete Carroll, who's been that guy at USC in the last 40 years?
There hadn't been.
And the answer's nobody.
You're right.
But those are the expectations, and they are not recruiting well. And I don't. And the fan base seems like they've checked out. And I don't know that you can really keep Clay Helton around, but it feels like they might do that. If they don't do it, then I don't know who they call first.
What about Urban?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, to me, he's problematic as a hire at a lot of places, but especially USC, which is dealing with a lot of fires from off-field, off-court type of stuff, both inside the athletic department and outside the athletic department. And you're going to bring Urban in, and we all know what things were like for him a year ago and why he was, that last year was tumultuous. It was all off the field stuff. His own mishandling of domestic abuse allegations against an assistant coach. So, James Franklin, I think, has to get a call. If they're smart, I'm not sure that either of these guys would be sexy enough for that fan base, but I'd call Matt Campbell and Matt Rhule immediately.
I would
too.
And
I think either one of them would be terrific.
I would too. I think, and if James Franklin ever left, that would really worry Baylor fans because I could see Matt Rhule going to his alma mater at Penn State for sure.
I think it should. If it's not the NFL, it's Penn State to me. Yeah. That's where he heads.
Do you think they got any chance to keep Matt Rhule for more than a minute? Is there any chance he stays there 5 or 10 more years?
Good Lord, no.
Can I tell you, I hope so because I like. Not just do I like Matt Rhule, and not just that I the fact that he's a really good football coach, and I believe that to be the case, but I really think he's doing it the right way.
He is.
Which is so necessary anywhere, but especially given how things had unfolded at Baylor.
Yeah.
When the last, you know, they won big under Art Briles, but we've now seen, you know, all sorts of bad, bad, bad things that were going on there. I think he may prove that you can win. I don't know if you can win big, big at Baylor, but you can win at Baylor and do it the right way. And I hope he does stay.
He's got a big fan base outside of the Baylor Bears. Arkansas, Florida State, who you got at those two schools?
If Arkansas hadn't called you yet, they're going to be calling probably because I think
they're desperate.
That's a job nobody wants right now. I had a coach from the SEC tell me it's the least talented roster he's seen in the SEC in 10 years.
Oh, goodness.
About all the Vanderbilt squads that have been there in 10 years. Ten of them. Now, they've had some, they've obviously had some decent years, but that's not good news. I don't think they gave Chad Morris enough time. I really hate the fact that they fired him after, before he even finished his second season. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he got a fair shot, but I also don't know that he was going to get it done.
So I
don't know, in answer to your question, the latest name that you hear that might make some sense, and I think this would be a really big name and a really good hire, is Justin Fuente from Virginia Tech, the former, obviously he's from Oklahoma, I think the Tulsa area, but I think that would make a lot of sense. He, for whatever reason, hasn't really been accepted by that Virginia Tech fan base. It doesn't make a lot of sense for that.
Interesting.
For that to be the case.
Much worse job, though. Boy, I sure wouldn't leave unless he's just, you know, kind of like Dana at West Virginia, unless he kind of wants out. I don't know. The good news is expectations should be low at Arkansas. So,
well, they should be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but who knows? Hey, the name that that we should not get rid of, and his season, or at least his regular season, will be over on Saturday, win or lose, is Gus Malzahn. We should not dismiss that. People have sort of, because it's been really quiet on that front, I think people are dismissing it in the industry, like search firms and agents and stuff aren't hearing the name.
Right.
But I think you ought to pay attention to that. Just, I'm not saying that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's not out of the realm of possibility that it would be time and he'd be ready to go this time, even though 2 years ago he wasn't.
Right.
I am of the opinion that 2 years ago he takes that job if they don't beat both Georgia and Alabama. And then at about the same time he would have been taking the job, he's now preparing for the SEC championship game that year. I think he takes that job. But having won those two games,
which
obviously is a very good thing, sort of made it to where Auburn wanted to keep him, offered the same deal, and you couldn't turn it down.
But did he make out Arkansas people mad by, did they think, well, he used us to, you know, feather his bed?
Well, he didn't. I don't think he did use them, Kirk.
Yeah.
I think basically the situation on the ground changed as they won those two games.
Right.
And obviously they were playing for the playoff in the SEC championship game, even with two losses.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he really had an option anymore. But on the Arkansas end of things, you think you got jilted, that he played you, and then you got jilted. I get that completely. I'm just saying I don't think that's what it was like in reality on his end. So I don't know.
No matter who feels jilted, that'd be a real coup for Arkansas.
Well, that would be my other thing. If you felt jilted, but now he was ready.
Yeah.
To
who
do
cares?
It, don't you
do
think
it.
You might get over that?
Absolutely. You get the guy you wanted. Get the guy you wanted.
So I don't know that that'll happen. I think probably we ought to not ignore that possibility.
Yeah. And my last thing on Florida State, my crazy prediction in my column this week was Stoops goes to USC or Florida State.
Stoops?
That Bob Stoops.
Mark Stoops.
Bob Stoops.
Stoops.
That he's itching to get back. He's ready. And if for any reason Lincoln Riley left to go to the Cowboys or some other NFL team, Bob would come back to Oklahoma. I still think he's got a lot left in the tank, and just the fact that he signed on with the XFL team kind of shows that. So I don't know. I just think Bob's there. You know, I've heard all kind of rumors. He's told Florida State to wait. You know, he'd rather have the USC job. I don't know, but I know college football is better with Bob Stoops in it. I'll put it that way.
Oh, I agree with that. Let me tell you this. I don't know what Bob's thinking, right? But I do think this. I don't think he wants to recruit to the level and the intensity that you have to recruit at those kinds of schools. And by those kinds of schools, I don't mean they're any different than Oklahoma. I just mean
it's
at the kind of
tough
job level he'd want to get.
Right.
You don't, I don't think he wants to do that. And that's why I think the XFL thing lets him sort of dip his toe in the water without recruiting and work about 5 months and then play golf 7 months. So
that's his wheelhouse.
I wouldn't be stunned if that happened, that he came back.
Yeah.
But, man, it is hard for me to see him wanting to get back into the way recruiting is.
They almost all come back. Look at Mac Brown.
You're right.
Urban Meyer makes a history of it. They keep coming back. So
no, but you're not wrong about that.
Yeah,
you're
but Bob left on his own terms.
He did. That doesn't mean he didn't reconsider and thought, you know, I don't want to be my dad down the sideline. Now my kids are about out of college and things change, though. And even Bob will never say never. So I don't know.
That's right.
It'd be juicy.
No, listen. Kirk, if it happens, you can say I told you so. I don't see it. And the one thing I would say is on the Florida State end of things, he feels like they're John Gruden to me. He feels like, you know how the Tennessee fans, every time the job came open,
well,
it's going to be John Gruden, of course. That's what it feels like to me with them. They've got it fixated on him.
Right. You haven't heard much from them. Hadn't heard much noise out of Hassie.
No, and that is interesting. But here's the deal. If you could have Bob Stoops, you could already have Bob Stoops. I mean, you don't have to you don't have to wait on him. You have to wait on guys who are still coaching.
But they could have him unless he's telling them to wait. Like, I think
that's
I might be able to do better, but we'll see.
But you're going to wait for him if that's the case?
Hell yeah. I'm waiting for Bob Stoops. I'm waiting as long as he tells me to wait. So he can always promote from within, you know. Obviously, so I don't know. This has been fun, Brother George. Yeah. Glad you're in the family, and let's do it again, okay?
I'd love to, and absolutely. Let's do it again.
Great.
And I think they'll just probably make me do it.
Yeah, they probably will.
Hey, we appreciate it, brother.
Thank you, George. Y'all. Have a great holiday. Take care. Bye bye.
On Second Thought.
Duck George Schroeder is a man of information. He's family now with Gannett and Gatehouse marriage. And he's always good to talk to about a little bit of college football.
Yes, he is.
He is. Yeah, he had some interesting things to say about how the Longhorns are perceived. Now, a little bird told me that a certain Duck in the 512 has been making bowl inquiries. Is that true or is that just rumor?
No, that is true.
So you've been calling up bowl games, asking them what Texas is going to do?
No, not what Texas is going to do, what they're going to do.
So what have they said? Yeah, quit
hiding
and being secretive.
They are interested.
They are interested in the UT football experience, sir.
They are interested in the Longhorns for a variety of reasons, and long and short of it, just to cut to the chase.
Get there.
I think Texas will probably land in the Camping World Bowl.
I don't want to go see the Mouse.
You don't?
Not really.
What do you got against the Mouse?
I like the Mouse, but I just kind of, you know,
what?
Me and Bev like the Alamo.
Come on, dog.
And I know that Danny Davis is horribly against the Alamo Bowl.
He hates it.
Danny Davis wants to go see the Mouse. I know he wants to go see the Mouse.
Well, so
but
do
I was kind of hoping for either Houston or Texas. You know, something quick, hit it and quit it, get back to East Texas.
Well, here's
enjoy
the
rest of the holidays.
Here's the deal on the Alamo Bowl.
First of all, who did you talk to? Did you talk to Mickey or Minnie, or who'd you talk to?
I got the hotline with Mickey.
Okay, so what were those conversations like?
They would be thrilled to get Texas. They thought they were going to get them last year. Mm-hmm. And to quote my spokesman from the Camping World Bowl, he said, we were just a hair off. We thought we were going to get Texas because we don't have a chance to get Texas very often. They've never been in this bowl game. But Texas was too good for them last year. They did better. They got in the Big 12 championship game. It ended up, you know, in the Sugar Bowl because OU was in the playoffs. So they lost out on them. So I think anytime you have a chance to get a name brand like Texas, it's good for TV. It's good for ticket sales. It's good for the audience. It's good for some buzz. And they would want them. Same holds for the Liberty Bowl. And the Liberty Bowl would love to have them as well. The Liberty Bowl director of marketing told me we've had 60 bowl games at the Liberty Bowl in Memphis. We've had 62 football teams, we have never had the Texas Longhorns.
They want them on Beale Street, fam.
They would love. They got food and music to offer. And the guy told me that, you know, a lot of Texas fans stayed here when Texas played at Ole Miss and made the drive over to the Grove. And so they feel like they've got a lot to offer. I think if it is Texas in the Liberty Bowl, they would probably play maybe a lower-level SEC team or maybe the loser of this week's Cincinnati-Memphis game. Now, if they go to the Camping World Bowl, Texas would likely play an ACC team, might even play Notre Dame.
Texas versus Notre Dame, that's kind of sexy.
That's very sexy.
I could kind of get with that.
You can get your mind around that, couldn't you? I
could definitely get my mind around that.
Yeah, definitely could. And that would be a good TV game. So they wouldn't have any trouble selling that. So I think, and the order is, and the, as far as the Texas Bowl and the Alamo Bowl, Texas Bowl had them 2 years ago, obviously, in Herman's first year. And Texas played at Rice in NRG Stadium in September. So this would be their third trip to Houston in 3 years.
They don't want to do that.
No, I don't think the players want to do that.
Kind of stale by now.
Yeah, I think the Texas Bowl would rather have some new blood in there. And they might get the Aggies. That's a possibility. And there is a slight chance, Ed, of the Alamo Bowl, as we said at the outset.
Don't give me hope.
But here's the reason. If Oklahoma wins the Big 12 title game in Arlington next week, they have a very good shot at getting into the CFP.
Very good shot.
And maybe Baylor, if they're sitting there, if they beat Kansas this week and then lose to OU, a close one again, they're sitting there at, what would that be, 10-2?
Mm-hmm.
11-2, I think. That maybe they would get in a year six bowl. Maybe they would play in the Sugar Bowl. And then the Alamo Bowl has the next pick. So who do you take? Maybe Iowa State. If they win this week, they've got 8 wins and they have the head-to-head victory over Texas. However, Iowa State was in San Antonio last year.
Wow.
And most bowl games don't want repeat
teams. They don't
want
you back-to-back.
And the players don't want a repeat team. So,
when's the last time Texas was in the Alamo Bowl? My memory fails me.
No, remember it was Max last year against Oregon.
Oh, that left a bad taste. Yeah. Mac walking out with his hands
but,
up.
You know, like in, was it 2012, they were there and beat Oregon State. So, you know, they've been there a couple times. But I don't think they're Alamo Bowl quality. But if Baylor and Oklahoma move up in the pecking order, they might would pick Texas in the Alamo Bowl.
So what do you think? I made a mistake in my column this week. I said they would count themselves lucky. They're a 10-point favorite over Texas Tech, and I used bad language there. I should have said fortunate to get out of this bad season at 7-5.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to beat Tech, but will anyone be impressed with a win over Texas Tech? I won't.
No, it's not a matter of being impressed so much, at least from the bowl people's, their perspective. A 7-win Texas team is so much better than a 6-6 team, obviously. That goes without saying. And the Texas name still means something in terms of audience. But as one bowl spokesman said, you know, you have that Texas name. You get those TV viewers, but how long do you keep those TV viewers? So it's one thing that are people are sexy. Because say it's the Alamo Bowl, and you've got Texas, and they've got their pick, probably not their pick of all three, but the other opponent in the Alamo Bowl is probably going to be Oregon, Utah, or USC. So you got some sex appeal there. So, and if that was Texas, you may get Texas, but some people... One bowl person told me, yeah, but if Texas is off to its usual slow start, as we know they do in the first quarter, you know, maybe that attention, that audience wouldn't be retained.
I really think that the Longhorns are just wanting this season to be over. I think Tom wants to get to the offseason, make sure Sammy doesn't get hurt in these next couple of games, and just kind of rally these troops, get them ready for the spring, figure out how you're going to look next season, and
so let me ask you this.
And try to keep some good players from transferring. That's what I think.
Do you think they'll be flat Friday?
They're always flat, Kirk. They've
got a home game. It's senior day.
They had a home game against K-State, and they were down 14-0 before it could even blink.
Well, I'm picking Texas as well.
Of course you are.
Why are we picking Texas then?
Because they're better than Texas.
Why are they a 9.5-point favorite?
I don't know. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, fam.
You look at Texas Tech, and Jet Duffy's played very well this year.
Yeah, he's made some bonehead mistakes, too. We were listening to the K-State game.
We were.
They get that ball back, and they got all the momentum, and he throws an interception, and he threw in the triple coverage. I mean, that happens.
But listen to their last three losses for Texas Tech. They lost to K-State by 3. They lost to TCU on last-second field goal by 2. They lost at Kansas by 3. Then they lost before that to Iowa State by 10, and before that they lost to Baylor by 3 in double overtime. So their last three losses have been by a total of 8 points. So
they're used to being in close games.
They're in close games, same as Texas.
I just don't know that Texas is built to work anybody.
Yeah, they're not. They haven't worked anybody. All their games have been close. And, you know, Texas, their only really good game since, West Virginia, I guess, was the K-State game. And they got behind 14-0 in that. That was a very good last three quarters. And I would like to think their leadership would be strong enough that they get back that form at least for one game against a 4-7 Tech team.
I do too. But the one thing that really bothers me, or if I'm a Texas fan, it worries me, is they're going to walk in there. There's going to be senior day, but the bloom is well off the rose, and the fans, a lot of them have checked out. Our inboxes are flooded with angry emails. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're not being hard enough on Tom. You're not this. You're not that. But I'm telling you, I think it really does mean something to the players, the underclassmen, to get the seniors to at least send them out with a W. Listen to what Tom Herman said about this senior class. So, Kirk, you joke with me. He's like, why don't they ever say, let's get the sophomores a win? Let's get these make sure these freshmen have a good start to their careers.
Exactly.
You know what? To me, that's the figurative white flag, basically. We're going to get these seniors a good bowl game. That just means that the season's pretty much over.
Well, and why didn't you care about the seniors in Waco? You know, why is this game more important than the other one? So
maybe because it's senior day, sir.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. But, I'm expecting a better effort from them. I am. I'm a little worried. I'm looking at, Texas 5 losses. You know, 4 of them by a touchdown or more. Lost to TCU by 10. Lost to Baylor by 14. And it felt more like 24. You know, that game could have been 31-0 if Texas doesn't have that long run from Keonta Ingram before the half and then scores with 1 second left on the clock. So, you know, and one thing I would say they have a little bit left in the tank is that, I know Herman was saying, well, we didn't stop against Baylor. We didn't have any quit. But we were asking the players on Tuesday this week about the bowl game. Are you going to play in the bowl game? Are you going to skip it? And all the seniors to a man were saying, no, I'm playing. There wasn't any hesitation from the Malcolm Roaches, the Devin Duvernays, the Brandon Jones,
the Zach Shackelfords,
and all of them.
What about the Colin Johnson?
He wasn't there. But it may not even be up to him.
He's not playing, dog.
If he's not healthy.
He's not playing.
Are you calling out Colin Johnson?
Not calling him out. I'm just saying he should make a business decision.
Oh, I disagree.
Get ready for the combine,
Colin. We talked about this
last
week, and I totally disagree.
I just don't want to be able. I want to be able to look into my teammates' eyes and let them know that I've gone the whole route with them.
Just because you're not a team player doesn't mean the rest of them aren't. You're selfish.
I'm the biggest team player on this staff. Come on now.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing, too. Before we wrap this thing up, like you hit on at the outset, is that they probably do want the season to be over. I know the coaching staff probably does. But then it's like, okay, what's going to happen? Who's in the transfer portal? Who might transfer? How many coaching staff changes are there going to be? What's your expectation of transfers and coaching changes? Who do you think might be gone?
I think Jake Smith may leave. Who else might leave? Who else didn't play as much and thought that they should? Daniel Young should leave.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, you hear all kind of rumors, you know, Joshua Moore, Marcus Washington, Brennan Eagles, a possibility. And we,
I don't know what Brennan Eagles is thinking.
Yeah.
You're about to get the keys to the role.
The same for Jake Smith. You hear that about Jake Smith. But, I mean, look at the production of slot receivers under Duvernay and Little Jordan the last 2 years. And Duvernay's obviously a senior and leaving. I sure wouldn't leave if I was Jake Smith. And you got Sam throwing to you next
Someone
year.
Who you're very familiar with.
Yeah, exactly. Now, as far as coaching changes, I think there's a distinct possibility one or both coordinators are gone. I think probably that Tim Beck will be gone, and he's not the true offensive coordinator who calls plays. Herman does that. So, but if I had to guess, I'd say at least one coordinator, probably Beck, and then, you know, maybe – you know, maybe a wide receiver coach, Jason Washington, cornerback, maybe in a little bit of trouble because they haven't performed. But I would venture to say there'd be between 3, 4, and 5 changes, wouldn't you?
That's a lot. I was thinking along the lines of like 2 or 3.
Yeah.
I think both coordinators could really go. If I had to pick one, I think Beck would be more likely.
Yeah.
Because I still think T.O. is Tom's boy.
Yeah, so. And then if they did make a change there, I'd go after somebody like a Joe Brady at LSU and, you know, hand over the reins and say, let's do this thing and trust them and see if we see a more explosive, imaginative offense next year.
Give me a score.
I'm going to say Texas is going to win 38-24.
You think they're going to cover that big 9-point spread?
I do.
Give me Texas 31-24. I got them by a touchdown. I think Tech might get out early, and Texas is going to ring them in. So, end of the regular season is coming up. The Texas Longhorns versus the Texas Tech Red Raiders, 11 a.m. at DKR. We'll see you there.
On Second Thought.
That will do it for episode 161 of On Second Thought. We got to thank our guy, George Schroeder from USA Today, for joining us. For Kirk Bowles and our staff here, we wish you a happy holiday weekend. I'm Cedric Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.